Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is a Georgian. His name is Matt Gertler. He was first elected to the House of Representatives in 2016, representing the citizens of House District 8, which includes portions of Rabun, Towns, Union, and White counties. He was raised in Rabun County, Georgia, alongside his four siblings, and loves calling the Northeast Georgia Mountains home. He went to the University of North Georgia in Dahlonega, where he participated in ROTC and received his bachelor's degree in history with a minor in sociology. Now, after graduation, Matt began working as a legislative aide for State Representative Stephen Allison from Blairsville during the Georgia General Assembly's 40-day legislative session. And I am interested in talking with Matt because he is currently running for office, but he is running as one who is outspokenly devoted to Jesus Christ. I realize some people try and use their faith as just sort of a disguise, or their profession of faith as a disguise for what they're really up to. But let's just say that in politics these days, most folks are not willing to be as outspoken about their faith as Matt has been. And since this program, Abiding in Christ, is trying to encourage people to really live out their faith, I thought it would be a good thing to have Matt on the broadcast. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, Matt, you are currently experiencing, like the rest of us, the required social distancing and a certain amount of isolation and so forth. But in the midst of it, you're actually campaigning for office. How does that work?
Yeah, it's been very interesting running for Congress during the pandemic. And so we're doing everything we can to get the vote out. Grassroots is fuels our campaign. And, you know, phone banking, and reaching out to constituents through emails and letters and text messages. You know, the election here for us is June 9th, so we just have a little bit of time left. And so we're doing everything we can. We've actually been doing online debate, and hopefully, you know, in sometime in May, we'll be able to actually meet in person and meet the voters and shake their hands and really know what we're about. But we're trying to do everything we can through social media as well, promoting our message and trying to get the vote out. You know, it's a very difficult time for a lot of people, a lot of Americans, a lot of Georgians. During the pandemic, a lot of people are out of work right now. Mm-hmm. That makes it especially interesting, too, when you're trying to raise money as well for your campaign.
Now, there in Georgia, my understanding is that you were one of the sponsors of a heartbeat bill. Is that right?
That's correct. That's something I fought really hard to get passed. And the heartbeat bill is something that, you know, when our candidate for governor, who is our current governor now, Governor Kemp, he ran on passing the most pro-life legislation in the nation. And so after he was the governor-elect, you know, we started drafting up legislation to have a Life at Conception Act. And that pushed the ball forward for the heartbeat bill, which passed last year by mere one vote. Mm-hmm. And I was outspoken on the House floor. I think I was only one of five or six Republicans to go up and speak in favor of the heartbeat bill. And a lot of the representatives didn't show up, or they walked out of the chambers, and some of them voted against it. Mm-hmm. But it was just the right thing to do, and we helped push that through. And I'm so proud of our governor for signing that bill. And what now, the bill is in preliminary injunction right now, and I believe that it will go to the Supreme Court. And it's a very unique bill as well. It actually recognizes the unborn in the womb for tax purposes as well. We know that they're human beings. We all know that as Christians. But it was just an interesting way to put it into the code. And so that's just unique in itself. And so I think that'll also go up to the Supreme Court. It's going to have to give it time. It's in litigation right now from the left. So we'll see what happens with it. But I was proud to co-sponsor it and also vote in favor of it and speak in favor of it. And it's something I pushed really hard for.
Well, again, I wanted to specifically address that because this broadcast points people to trust in Jesus as the only one who can save us. But it also encourages folks who have trusted in Jesus to realize that when God saves us, he doesn't just forgive us. He comes and is the Lord and Master of our lives and giving us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Christ. He empowers us to do his work in this world. And loving our neighbor includes loving the unborn child. And so I am grateful for those who serve in public office and take their responsibility to those who can't speak for themselves seriously. And you've got a record of doing that. That's not just rhetoric. It's been action. And I appreciate where you've taken your stand. And I appreciate the fact that you're not trying to keep everybody happy on this. You're trying to do what you believe is right. So to that end, let me ask you to talk with us a little bit about growing up, your experience of coming to know the Lord and trust in him, and then how he led you into the idea of serving in government.
Thank you for the question. Yeah, I'm one of five siblings. We grew up in Northeast Georgia in the mountains. My parents lived up here when I was about 6 years old. So I'm 31 now, so about 25 years I've lived up in the mountains up here. And my parents are both devout Christians, all my siblings. And we were actually homeschooled, so we were all homeschooled. I skipped 12th grade. I was graduated a little early at 17 years old. Mm-hmm. But I came to know Christ when I was 10 years old. I was saved at 10 at Clayton Baptist Church in Raven County in Clayton, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And, getting into politics, I can tell you this. This is what's been so astounding. The Lord tests us all the time. We have to have this high standard. God's standard is so high we can't even see it. He gives us a little bit of a preview in the Bible, of course, but it's almost unfathomable and what his standards are. But when I got involved in politics, it really was a test. It was the hardest test I think I've ever been through, and I still continue to go through it, because it puts your faith into works. And things like the heartbeat bill, things like not the proper role of government for spending taxpayers' monies improperly, unwisely. Mm-hmm. If no one says anything about it, it continues to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done in politics is try to lead by example. I think that's what Christ calls us to do, is to lead by example and emulate Christ and his works. But always through faith, though. And so my faith has grown tremendously in the last 4 years, because it was a test. Every time that I went out and spoke, or every time that I had to push the yes button and the no button at the voting booth at the Capitol, mm-hmm. it would be a test to your faith about what you truly believe in. Because I tell you something, in politics, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are aware of this, especially nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And so just going back to the heartbeat bill, when I spoke in favor of that bill, you could feel the spiritual warfare that was going on. You could feel just the pressure, the immense pressure to not come speak out and do what's right and speak up for the unborn and really just call out the atrocities that that we've condoned in our country. And a lot of people like to look the other way and sort of dismiss it and not want to think about it. But speaking on that bill and other bills as well, but especially that, I'll never forget just how palpable the spiritual warfare was going on,
mm-hmm.
where they did not want you to go up there and speak to it, and that it was just we had to draw a line in the sand as Christians and say, this is enough's enough, and we have to have more bold leadership and Christian leadership in the state capitals and the federal government and your local governments. Always try to encourage younger kids, younger adults, because I'm only 31, to get involved and get involved for the right reason and to speak the truth, because God is truth, and that's what we're called to do, is speak the truth. My faith has been such an instrument through God, and he's using me and to be able to go up to, you know, state capitals, or if possibly Washington, D.C. now, or running for Congress now. And I think having that national platform as well really educates many people about what's going on, because I know that when I would speak to bills in the state capitol, where I would vote no to a bill in the state capitol, and I was alone a lot of the time because I based my votes off principle.
Yes.
And if it's right or wrong, you know, I was raised right is right and wrong is wrong, and so we should do that regardless of the pressure, regardless of the intimidation or the threats or the manipulation from other politicians and leadership and constituents and things like that. And it was just, it's something that solidified so deep into me now that it grounded my faith even more, because those are the hardest choices I think I've ever had to make in my short life. And, you know, having that influence on the voting, I would have so many individuals from around the state, around the nation contact me and say, thank you for doing that. And why doesn't my representative do that? Why doesn't my congressman do that? And it was, it really goes to show that, you know, just by doing the right thing, what a ripple effect it can have on so many other people.
Matt, when you were being homeschooled, I think a lot of people assume wrongly. I just read an article that was published at Harvard University by someone who apparently is a nincompoop. And I guess they're not aware of how eagerly Harvard University tries to recruit homeschool kids, because they do so well at the university level. But in any case, this article was basically suggesting that homeschoolers are in danger. They don't receive a quality education. They might be abused. And they are going to be isolated socially for the rest of their lives, and not able to really be good participants in a democratic society. You're one of many that I know who give the lie to that. You demonstrate that being homeschooled didn't make you want to spend the rest of your life in a cocoon. It equipped you to get out there and seek to make a difference in our culture.
Yes. Well, thank you. Yeah, I can kind of give you, and when you, those negative examples you say, I mean, we hear that sometimes with homeschool families and homeschoolers, and certainly they're the outliers, but that's something that I guess the mainstream media always likes to harp on. You know, just looking at free markets, I mean, homeschooling, you know, you have a total free market of homeschooling when it comes to that. Very, very private education. Usually when you have that type of thing, you know, your competition increases. And so we've been very successful. My family, my brothers and sisters, they're very successful what we're doing. And, you know, we were, like I said, we were raised in the church. We had daily Bible studies growing up. I read the Bible twice back and forth when I was a kid. And my mom would read it through this daily as well. And that's really what solidified our faith. And, you know, we're looking at the homeschoolers, I mean, for the majority of the part, a lot of them are very successful people and willing to say the truth. And I think that's really the biggest difference is, you know, when I look at, you know, some of my counterparts and things like that, seem like there's a group or a herd mentality to a lot of people. And it's a lot easier, actually, just to sit down and not say anything or speak up and go along with the crowd. I think there's just too much of that. And so I didn't think I'd ever be a politician, like I said, but now I am. I don't even like that word, actually, politician. I think it has a negative connotation to it now because there's so much corruption going on in the world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, more like a statesman. Just really getting back to the Constitution and nuts and bolts of, you know, why we're Americans and the values and principles that our country was founded upon, the Christian values. And getting back to that and just getting back to a limited government, what's going to help people? You know, the government, people look to government, and they look to government as their God now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, it's gonna help me fix every single problem in my life, and it's not. You know, that's not the answer. And so we have to get away from that and getting back to the families, the communities, to the churches, and getting the government as small as we can get it. It's unbelievable that we would allow ourselves to, you know, the government to grow this big. But it didn't happen overnight. You know, I'll just say it, you know, it happened slowly, inch by inch, of compromising.
Yep.
And so that's when I got involved in politics, and the whole campaign really for state rep was to bring principles back into politics. You know, if the government if there was a bill that said there was going, of course, if there was a bill that was unconstitutional, he couldn't vote for it. If I couldn't read it, I couldn't vote for it. And if it increased the size and scope of the intrusiveness of government, I couldn't vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you always had to follow, you know, the Word of God and also the Republican principles, which enshrined in individual liberty. And if anything violated those things, of course you'd vote against that as well. And I said, well, then you can never waver on that. Be consistent. And as long as you're consistent, you know, I was just being consistent. And I became the most conservative legislator in Georgia for 4 years. So I can kind of tell you, you know, where what's happening in Georgia, but also on the federal level, you know, it's the same type of thing. You know, it's a lot of compromise on values and trading values for votes. That's mm-hmm. what I saw happen all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, that was what really upset me.
Yep. Well, I know that there have been some godly Christian people in government down through the generations, but it has always been a minority, and that is not only because of corruption in politics, but it's because, sadly, the condition of humanity. If you look in churches, it is a rare thing to find the majority really devoted to following Christ. You'll find some here and there in another church who are serious about their faith, devoted to the Lord, but you'll find large quantities of people who are kind of the mushy middle, and you'll also find some people who are wolves in sheep's clothing and seeking to destroy the flock and lead people astray. I think it's wonderful that the Lord has called you to serve him in this regard and that you've been willing to do so. Some people think that you must have a very high opinion of yourself and trying to elevate yourself above others. Those of us who know people who, like you, have done this as a step of obedience to the Lord realize it is a tough calling. It is a very challenging thing, and you are willing to make sacrifices in order to make this happen. Now, Matt, you've shared that you came to know the Lord as a young man, just as a child, really, there at the Baptist Church in Georgia. You've said that it was a surprise to you as a young adult when the Lord called you to serve him in state government, and then you really prayed as the Lord led you to run for national office. My great-grandfather was a U.S. congressman, having served in the North Carolina State House and State Senate, and then he went to the U.S. Congress. But as I look back, there are things in his life where I know he missed the mark, as it were, as I'm sure my grandkids will wonder, you know, gee, we know grandfather loved Jesus. How could he be so wrong about this or about that? You're not professing that because the Lord is leading you, you're always going to do everything right. But what you are determined, from what I hear and what you've shared, what you are determined to do is to seek to be obedient to the Lord and not compromise and bow to the pressure of other forces. Is that right?
Yes, correct. You know, when we make these decisions, we do it as a family. And, you know, just as an example to this, you know, I was seeking re-election for my current seat, and they had put up, the establishment had put up another opponent against me again to try to get me out as mm-hmm. part of the establishment corruption that was going on. And so I was seeking my re-election, actually, that was supposed to happen at the same time this election was supposed to happen. And one of my state senators, he actually, he's announced for Congress. So I actually had more options than I knew what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
I could have ran for my re-election, I could have ran for state senate, or I could have ran for the congressional seat. And when you have too many options, it's hard to make your mind up as well. So that's why we had extra diligence in trying to make sure we made the right decision. And I can tell you this, you know, when we decided to run for Congress, it was really thought out, and it was a lot of prayer and diligence, and to see that if this was what was going to be needed to be done, then the doors would open for us. And so far, many doors have opened up for us with the support, like I was saying. So, yeah, it was just it's just amazing how things work out. And when you put your faith in God and you serve him and not man.
Amen.
A lot of the time, at the Capitol, that's what everybody's serving. They're serving themselves, or they're serving the leadership, or the people in charge. And like you said before, people tell you how to vote. They do.
Yeah.
You know, when I came in as a freshman, they said, hey, your first 2 years, your first term is about learning. So just look to the majority leader or look to the chairman, and he'll tell you how to vote. And it was just like, well, I'm going to read the bills, frankly, and then I'm going to figure out, you know, where this aligns with and what I believe and what we should be doing as government officials. And then I'll make my decision on how to vote. And some of the people with the highest integrity that I would never think would compromise or fold or become a part of the corruption did.
Yep.
They all did.
Yep.
And I want to be able to sleep at night and be comfortable with what I'm doing and be able to make the right decisions based off principle and values and the biblical truth. So that's what it's about. It's about the truth. You know, God is truth. And so let's speak it. Speak up about it.
Praise God.
And so that's sort of my experience in the last couple of years, but as long as you lead by example, maybe they'll have a revelation, and they'll see that maybe that is the right thing to do. Because I know that in my election, just by doing the right thing, we had the opposition from the governor to the Speaker of the House in Georgia coming and campaign against me, first time in Georgia history, and we still got 60% of the vote, and that really encouraged so many representatives and senators in the state capitol.
That's great.
To say, you know, I can do the right thing too. And even if they come after me, look at the example Matt Gertler did. They came after him, and he won. He won big. It goes to show that you can do the right thing and be successful.
Super. Well, Matt, thank you for taking time to talk with us today. We pray God's blessing on you and his continued leadership in your life.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I really appreciate it.
You bet. God bless you. Folks, that conversation with Matt Gertler, who's running for U.S. Congress from Georgia, may seem to some of you who are in Wyoming and Iowa and California like, what does this have to do with me and what does this have to do with abiding in Christ? Well, let me tell you what it has to do with all of us. All of us need to do whatever God has called us to as unto the Lord, whether it's driving the truck, whether it is working in the hospital, whether it is stocking the grocery shelves, thank God for the folks who are still putting things out on the shelves right now, whether it is teaching in a public school, whether it is homeschooling your children, whether it's pastoring a church, or whether it is being the janitor at the church building. Whatever it is God's called you to do, you need to do it for Him. You need to do what you do for the glory of God. And some of us have just assumed that certain areas of service are not options for us. And I certainly don't think everybody ought to be a pastor. I certainly don't think that everybody ought to be a truck driver. And I certainly don't think that everybody ought to serve in politics. But I thank God that He is calling forth people around the country to serve on school boards, to serve on county commission, to serve in various avenues of public life. And please note the word to serve. The idea is not going somewhere in order to rule. It is in order to serve, following the example of our Lord Jesus, who laid aside His outer garments, wrapped Himself in a towel, and washed the disciples' feet. That is the kind of people we need in public service. And so I hope that you will look carefully at the people who are running for office. We've got huge decisions ahead of us this year here in our country. You need to be prayerfully looking to see what the issues are, to see who the people are that are running for office, and to see whether or not what they're doing is consistent with God's word. And then don't just hold your nose and go to the ballot booth. Get on your knees and seek the Lord and then go to the ballot booth. And vote not for personalities, but for principles. And as you do that, God can use you to be salty salt and shining lights in this generation. God bless you. Keep living for Jesus. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number,
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.